0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on yet another dramatic weekend in the Scottish Premiership. Callum McGregor believes Celtic must win at least five or six games for a chance at retaining their title. All a bit quiet on the domestic front as we head into the international break thereafter. Scotland assistant Stephen Naismith says those who are not in the squad for these friendlies should not give up hope of making the World Cup. If you want to get in touch tonight, it's 01419511025. And joining me, you have Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dale.
Well, after another exciting weekend in the league, it's international break and it gives the teams a little bit of time to regroup, Gordon, refresh, and gives them a little break before a fantastic run and seven games left. I think we're going to get a lot of excitement. And in the Championship tonight, two of my favourite teams go head-to-head, Raith Rovers v Partick Thistle.
Killian, it has been an incredible season. We say it every week. We're kind of running out of words for it. The stat that we mentioned last night, which just sums up how crazy it's been, there's still only one weekend this season where all three teams have won at the same time. It is just madness from now on to the end of the season.
Yeah, didn't know that stat. And doesn't surprise me either. I think there'll still be a lot of twists and turns between now and the end of the season, both the top end and bottom end of the table. So, again, I feel like I keep saying it every weekend, but looking forward to how it all culminates.
0141 951 1025. It's only Tuesday. It's far too early to think about winding up the weekend's discussion. So let's hear from you. Maybe the dust is settling. You've looked at it with a bit more of a clear, analytical mind. You've been figuring out the permutations, the potential fixtures, the points, totals on offer. What are you thinking now? Let's forecast how you think this is all going to go. You're hearing Celtic captain Callum McGregor talking about needing to win at least five or six of the remaining games. Might it even be more than that? What do your own calculations tell you? That stat we mentioned there, it is quite incredible to think there's only been one weekend this season where the teams have all won on the same weekend. It's also quite interesting to note that the team that goes first at the moment does seem to have a bit of an advantage. Whether that's a coincidence or not, it certainly is a theme that is developing. So you're starting to analyse the schedules going forward as well. How do you all feel about it? Last night, because it was fresh reaction to Tannadice, it was a lot of Celtic soul searching. What about the rest of you? I don't feel like we got stuck into the Hearts or Rangers side of things quite as much as we could have last night. So why don't we put a bit of attention on their Rangers fans? How encouraged are you by your home form at the moment, scoring those 18 goals in the last five league games? Does that give you hope that you are heading towards a title challenge, or would you look for more of those goals to come from your front two? What's the bit that's given you maybe a bit more uncertainty? And Hearts fans as well, let's hear from you in all of this. It's a pleasure to have three fan bases involved in this title race discussion. So you know the drill. We are here until 8 o'clock or thereabouts. Give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025. I don't really know how you keep summing all this up, Gordon Dale, but every single week, just, you know, talking about their Rangers being and feeling good about having good home form, but it was only last week or the week before that Rangers fans would have been a bit more uncertain. It feels like home comfort's really good for Hearts at the moment, where they get their 1-0 wins, and Celtic fans probably don't quite know what to think this week.
Well, let's not be kidding. We'll be saying the same thing week in, week out for the next 7 weeks, because there'll be turns and twists, no doubts about that. There's a great stat there, Gordon, because I've been saying for ages that, you know, Rangers scored in their last four games 18 goals. I'm looking at two centre-forwards and I'm thinking you've got to score more goals. But obviously the other lads in the team are chipping in. So if I was a Rangers supporter involved with Rangers right now, I'd be thinking, if I can get these two strikers, because he's playing two up top, if I can get them hitting a little bit of form for seven games with the goals that is getting backed up to them as well, what a great chance. But listen, you look at Hearts, every time they lose a game, everybody sits back and waits for the great saying, the bubble has burst. They bounce back. Okay, it's not pretty, but they're still winning. They've got a goal scorer coming back, Shanklin. He'll score goals, there's no doubt about that. Celtic fans, I'm a little bit more worried. Callum McGregor did come out and say that, what was it, five or six games? they might have to win all seven for me to get a chance of winning this league. So there's a lot of excitement there. And then you even look down the bottom of the league, Aberdeen are right into that mix there. Kilmarnock look like they're going to be the team that's got enough to get out. St Mirren, what are they going to do? Are they going to bring in a Tony Dock to help in the background? Are they going to appoint a manager? They're in the relegation trouble as well, but got a great result at Falkirk. And then it's a case of, I know John McLennan listens to this show, but John, cement the top six so we can see the split.
I'm starting to think it's now your fault, because you've been telling Brian Graham on here for weeks, it's done, forget about it, it's absolutely
it is
nailed
done,
on.
But John just needs to get it over a line. I'm blaming him,
but
now.
But you also wouldn't have expected Dundee United to beat Celtic, because that's the bit that's kept it going a little bit.
I didn't, and it, by the way, there's still a outside chance. I would still say Falkirk massive.
Well, Dundee United go to Ibrox next
Does
as well,
matter?
Don't they?
Dundee United have done okay at Ibrox, I think.
Are you going Dundee United to win against Celtic and Rangers back to back?
Look, I wouldn't see this season. I wouldn't put nothing by anything.
Oh, behave yourself.
The last time Dundee United were at Ibrox, did Rangers not score late on to make it 2-2?
It's more just that's usually the type of thing that you would disregard, but you're obviously just in a troublemaking mood.
No, I'm still fancying Rangers, because at home their form and everything that they're in, and as I said, they can get the two strikers going. But it won't be as cut and dry as everybody thinks, because I said it there, 2-2 the last time. Rangers had to come and score a late goal to get a draw. But it still keeps it exciting.
Look at us previewing games in nearly 2 weeks' time.
Exactly.
That's how exciting the title race is at the moment. Let's dive in on the phones. 01419511025. Let's hear from you right now, please. Brian will lead us off. Brian, how does it feel to be a Celtic fan at the moment?
Not particularly good, no. I just don't see, they're just not scoring goals or even getting the ball to the forwards to score. And obviously it's been transfer windows and they're spending and lack thereof, lack of. I just don't see scoring goals. I'm actually expecting to finish third. I hope I'm obviously proved wrong, but finishing third, I know a lot of Celtic fans will hate this, but it might not be the worst thing in the world in this current climate.
It's incredible that that's become the reality, Killian, because we're probably so focused on this binary idea of you win the league or you don't. That's kind of what the three of them are aiming for. But when you do sit down and think about it, imagine Celtic finishing third. That is, as Brian says, and everything that comes with that, and what you're looking at in European qualification next season and so on. That must be a realistic fear for a lot of Celtic fans now.
Yeah, definitely. I think at the start of the season, when you saw how far ahead Celtic have been over the last few years, just not winning the league would have been a big enough shock. So the fact that there's potential to finish third is unthinkable. It feels weird even saying it now. I know coming out and saying, and Colin McGregor saying, need to win probably six, seven games, or we're kind of saying they need to win every game. Mm-hmm. But you can say that on previous seasons where you think, yeah, that's realistic. Mm-hmm. But you're judging it off this season, and this season, it's hard to see that happening, which is all we can go on. Their current form, I think, with recruitment is the big issue. Is clearly, I think, has been their biggest problem. But at the same time, I still think a team with those players should still be putting in better performances. It's one thing to go and grind out results, but on the flip side, when you're not doing that, there needs to be some sort of performance. And Sunday, unfortunately, wasn't it.
I don't mean to hold Callum McGregor to this too much, Gordon. He's not there to forecast exact points totals that you need. It was possibly just a throwaway comment. But if we take it at face value, when he says win five or six, it can't be five, can it? That would only take Celtic up to 76 points.
That won't win your league. I'd be 80 plus. Early 80s. Got to be. And do you know something? Brian makes a great point there, right? I said there about Rangers scoring the goals, 18 goals. I'm talking about their two centre forwards. I'm talking about Hearts with Shanklin coming back, and Braga up front can score goals. You look at that Celtic team, and Negrin, apart from him, where is the goals going to?
But then, to be fair, if we're talking the goals for column is very similar.
I've looked at it.
The same as Rangers, and the three more, I think, than Hearts.
Yeah, but in the run in with seven games to go, I think the difference with these three teams, I think it's got to be the strikers, right? I really do. I think it's got to be the strikers. And I look at Hearts, they've got possibility there. Of course they have with they two. Rangers, yes, have got possibility with they two as well. Chermiti and Nadiri. I look at Celtic, they don't even know who their number one centre-forward is. So I think Celtic are in big trouble. Callum McGregor's come out and saying that. I remember, you know, Callum McGregor probably years gone by would have come out and said, look, we'll win the full seven, not a problem, that's how good we are. Celtic are in real trouble just now. Listen, winning the league, I think they're looking, struggling to finish second, the way they're going. Well,
that's certainly how John feels. Yeah, John, so you think that that attacking area, there's clearly a lot going wrong at Celtic at the moment, but is that the main thing that you're drawn to? I think they're 36 goals down on where they were at this time last season in the league. Has that been the biggest drop-off, you think?
Brian, you mean? Sorry.
Oh, Brian, sorry. What did I call you?
I'm John. That's actually my brother.
I think we got a lot of Johns that phone in and I've just gone autopilot.
That's his brother. You must know the family.
Absolutely.
Sorry,
Brian.
No, it's not even just that. It's even the players that have lost. Obviously, Johnson, Cam McCarter-Vickers, obviously, Jota, and all, obviously, other players as well. We've just not replaced anybody. And the guys that were bought up front, they've just not got it whatsoever. And the two Japanese boys, they want to go. They just want to go. But certainly that Martin O'Neill's kind of done it a good job. Now, what a lot of people don't say, Martin O'Neill, I was reliably informed that in his last time at Celtic, he only turned up on a Friday. It's actually Sean Maloney that should be getting the basically plaudits for when they played really well and possibly criticism from who haven't. He's in my mind, a wee bit of an unsung hero, Sean Maloney. But I think I just can't see it, lads. I honestly hope I'm wrong.
Well, nobody's a hero then.
Brian, you're sitting third in the league. You can't say unsung hero. They've still got international players. They've still got a big squad. They've still got a massive wage bill, probably the biggest in Scotland, alongside Rangers, obviously. You can't say unsung hero when you're sitting with Celtic Football Club in third. I take on board the losses of the big players that you're talking about. But Hearts have lost big players as well. They lost Shanklin. They lost Devlin, who was having his best game. They've lost Finlay, the centre-half, who alongside Halkett was absolutely brilliant for Hearts this season. So teams have lost big, big players. But I don't... You can't look at Celtic and say... And it's the same at the weekend. Some people were looking, thinking... Oh, hold on a minute, the pitch. Yeah, I totally understand that. It's not the sort of pitch that Celtic play on week in, week out. But you've still got to go up there, roll the sleeves up and go and get a positive win. All credit to Dundee United. But I think there's troubled times at Celtic just now.
It feels like, if we're talking about attacking as well, Killian specifically, it feels like more of a recruitment issue than an injury issue. Nobody can overstate how good Alistair Johnson and Cameron Carter-Vickers are, but... From that kind of middle to front, you're talking about Jota, one of the wingers, as good as he is and as good as he can be, one of the wingers missing. For so many seasons, Celtic could totally have carried one winger missing.
Yeah.
Because even if he was fit, if we're being honest, it's hard to measure, how big a difference, because you've still got the same set of number nines, you've still got the same inconsistencies maybe on the other side. By the way, when Jota came back in, we weren't maybe quite sure yet if he had even hit the levels from his first time.
Yeah, we still don't know what level he's coming back at. I think the striker attacking issue probably was highlighted the most during that Wilfred Nancy era, where I felt like if they had that striker up there that was going to convert chances, I reckon at least three of those games Celtic had games won by half time. They didn't, and they ended up paying for that. The manager paid for that. And I think there's been a knock on confidence effects throughout the team. And I'd say probably Hearts, in terms of the recruitment issue, in terms of Hearts had injured players. And I'd say the guys who came in for those injuries pretty much have done a good job. They settled the ship. They came in, the Hearts didn't look any weaker. I'd argue maybe the striker. Replacing
Shankland, is he?
Just hasn't really scored the goals that Shankland would.
But Braga improved quite a bit.
Yeah,
I feel like when Shankland went out.
Braga definitely stepped up. But in terms of their defensive injuries in midfield, guys came in and replaced what they were coming in to replace, and I don't think Celtic have done that with the injuries they've had.
Because Gordon Killian makes a good point about the Wilfred Nancy era. It felt quite clear about chance taking, but there are certain games at the moment, it's not like they're creating loads to miss, are they?
No, that's my big concern. Look, we look at the table and they've scored 56 goals, they're up there. But they look like they've dropped off at, because there's not a settled front three. You're looking every week, you couldn't... Days gone by, before the game, you could basically name Celtic's team, right? You could basically name their team, especially their front three. Simple and straightforward as that. Now you're second guessing. You look at the weekend there, they're putting people up front. They've went back to Maeda. You know what I mean? They're playing Hatatian at right back. Tenekti for me looks better as an impact player. And they brought him in for, what did they spend him? About £5 million or something. All of a sudden he's an impact player. You know, you look at the two centre forwards they brought in January. They're all over it. They don't look like they're going to win Celtic the title. Look, I'm not writing Celtic off. You never do that. Do that at your own peril, because they know how to get the job done. But I'm just watching them, and I think a lot of Celtic fans will agree with me. The confidence is going lower and lower and lower for them to go and win the title.
Well, just let me check though. You said you think they need to win all seven, and you don't think they're capable of winning all seven, but now you're not writing them off.
No, I said that Callum McGinn, they might have to win all seven.
Do you think they look capable of winning all seven?
Right now, no, I don't.
He's writing them off. That sounds like it to me.
I'm not writing them off. They could win six and win the title.
Brian, you said you think third is realistic, and I think something in there about you don't think that would be the worst thing. What does that mean? You know, is that going to shock everybody into big improvements going forward? Could you stomach that?
I would stomach it, but I don't think the board... See, maybe a move on. It's what really gets me. He's obviously Dermot Desmond. He's only got... kind of off the top of my head, is it something like 36% or something? Obviously, he's got the other shareholders in his pocket and his same mindset as him. But I don't know. Surely he's got to see it. See that it's just not good enough what we've got. Something's got to be done. I know you're never going to clear out the board. They're not going to leave, but there's got to be something happening.
I can't speak to the sort of emotional feeling Brian or others have, or that sense of expectation that comes after winning all those titles, but from the outside, it feels like it would need to be a heck of a reset to allow you to stomach finishing third. You know, that would need to really spark something special.
I think even if they finish second, I don't think there's... It's more a bit maybe of an embarrassment thing of finishing thirds in what's always been a two-horse race, a two-team league. So I think just the fact not winning the title should be enough to start any change or stuff. I think it's going to need a massive overhaul in terms of players. And I just think the structure isn't there at the minute. It kind of feels like there's a lot of people that were in roles are now being moved into different roles, and then no one's filling the one that they've just left. I think there's a kind of a lot of chopping and changing, similar to how it is on the park, where players are going in and playing different positions. I feel like that's kind of happening above the playing level as well.
Brian, thank you very much. Send the regards to your brother John as well. It's 01419511025, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Killian Sheridan is alongside Gordon Dalziel as they continue to pore over the weekend. How exciting is this title race? We've already started talking about games that are taking place in 2 weeks' time. Big Scotland friendlies to come before then, of course. But that is inevitable that the title race is capturing the imagination. So why not give us a call? Give us your take on it. 01419511025. Send us a message at Clyde SSB or however else you fancy it. Do get in touch and we'll work our way through it between now and 8 o'clock, because there is a lot to get through. I did say it would be nice to hear from you Harps fans as well. We didn't get too many of your viewpoints last night, Rangers fans as well, but I can see the Celtic phone lines, the Celtic supporters I should say, are lighting up the phone lines, Gordon. Just such was the depth of the disappointment of that performance
at
the weekend, not just the result.
I think, like, you can always take a result if it's the right way, but you look at the result, you look at the performance, you look at the fact that the teams above you, well, Hearts and Rangers both won, the teams that you're competing with, and then it puts you into third place. Celtic are not used to being in third place and all of a sudden probably being third favourites now to win the title. You've not heard of that for a long, long time. Celtic fans are not happy with it, and rightly so, because their club is in a real mess just now. They'll be looking for a new manager in the summer. You look at some of those players that they brought in, you look at their squad, not good enough. It's a lot of average players in there for Celtic Football Club, and I think the fans would agree with that as much as they hate, you know, criticising their own players. So there's a massive job to be done.
Chris is on the line next. Take it away, Chris.
It's just, it was basically based on Callum McGregor's comments. We need to win at least five. No, we need to win seven. There is no room for any more error. And if Celtic do not win the title, this goes back to the Wilfred Nancy era, where we dropped 12 points and against teams. I'll exclude Rangers there, because that's a 50-50. Against teams that we should be beating, regardless whether Hearts were flying or league leaders, it was the chance that we were at home. We should have won that game. So this is where it goes back to. We're not creating chances. We're not scoring enough. And as Gordon pointed out earlier on, we used to be able to pick the Celtic team. Now, when we look at the team every week before the game, you go, well, where's the goals coming from today? And it circles back to the same player, Negrin. If Benjamin Negrin's not scoring, nobody else seems to be scoring. And this thing up front about, we're going back to Maeda. You know, it clearly it's not worked all season. Why do we persist with it? Why do we persist with it? Because the other options aren't good either. It's basically, literally at times it seems like when we pick our striker, we're starting number nine, it's drawn out of a hat. Who's going to start up front?
I'm agreeing with Chris here. I think he makes great points. I think every Celtic fan's feeling the same, Gordon. And I totally agree. Five games, winning five games, ain't going to win you the title this year. That's 100% sure. And I think Chris is not alone in what he's thinking, because it's the same week in, week out just now. The strike force, even the wide players. You know, for me, I think he's been a lot better recently, right, as Yang. But Yang seems to be a player that is more suited to Celtic Park, right? Every time I see him at Celtic Park, he can put on a performance and he works his socks off for a team. There's no doubt about that. Away from home, tonight to the other side as well, he's an empty jersey when he starts. He offers absolutely nothing.
But then that has that knock-on effect, doesn't it? Because There was an attempt there, obviously, to not play Dyson Maeda through the middle. That's why Iheanacho came in. Like, I didn't know Chavancha was ill or whatever the reason was. I think everybody was very surprised when they saw Iheanacho's name in the starting lineup. And then it's like, well, you know, that jigsaw, Tonecki not really trusted, if that's the right word, to play away at Tannadice on a pitch like that. So Maeda goes there. And Iheanacho plays through the middle. It feels like there's just imperfect solutions all over the place.
Yeah, it just goes back to the thing where we're saying that you don't really know who it's going to be every week. It's someone different. Players are getting maybe 45 minutes to go out and try and prove, right, I'm the main striker here. The Iheanacho, and I don't know what was keeping him out prior to the Dundee United game. I feel like he's the best out-and-out striker there at the minute. He's probably the one I'd be most confident in going up and putting in a striker performance. I don't know if it's injury or fitness or what's going on there. And then again, it's as a player coming in, I keep saying it's really hard to build momentum if you're just getting 45 minutes or 60 minutes here and there, when you're kind of, I would imagine they're going into the games knowing, I need to perform here, I need to lay a marker, and I need to score to try and keep that position, because I know it's not nailed down for anyone. And I think with Yang, it's almost like we keep saying how well he's playing at the minute, but it's almost like in a surprising feeling, and it shouldn't be.
But for me, his best for performances I've watched him, I've been at home. See, what would disappoint me as well, and small things get picked up, and rightly so at this time. You look at the desires from some Celtic players. You look at Dundee United's second goal. See, if I'm the manager there, I'm looking at my two players and I'm thinking, you've got to get out and close that ball down with a bit of desire, throw your body in line. Then you turn round and you see Luke McCown turning his back right out the road to get out the road of the shot. And you're thinking to yourself, that's not the way Celtic can go to places like Tannadice in the past when the pitch hasn't been great and go and perform really, really well. They can go and perform. They've done it in Europe as well when nobody gave them a chance. They went there and performed. Sunday, do you know something? I thought everybody got it wrong. And as much as I am his biggest fan, Martin O'Neill, right, some of the decisions on Sunday was baffling for me from the coaching staff as well. How you've got a Scotland international player, a right back sitting there, and I know you're talking about, well, we want it to go on the ball and dominate. He's a natural right back. If you look at the second goal, I'm not saying I'm Ralston's biggest fan, but Hatate trying to defend in the right back position was quite laughable, to be honest with you, and Dundee United end up with the second goal. Some of the decisions, I thought Celtic just had a wheel off day throughout their full team.
I remember back when, with Gordon Strachan, when we'd play teams like that away, the one thing that always stuck out, he used to always say, out of possession, treat it like a cup game. And you can just see that's like that kind of, that work rate you're getting every second ball's putting your body on the line, all of that. Because when a team like Celtic is coming and you're the other side of that and you see they're not really up for it, that's the one thing that kind of, that can be a leveller in those games where you're like, right, if we outwork them and outfight them, then we've got a chance. And clearly Dundee United did, I think.
Been a real mix, Chris. Last night we still had quite a few Celtic fans on saying, if you know, don't rule them out, thought you could win the league. Your previous caller who was on felt that you were in line for a third place finish. How, is that the most realistic, or where do you see it finishing?
I still think there's twists and turns to come. I mean, the next two games for all three clubs, they've all got the sticky patches. I mean, we haven't performed well in Dundee, and then St Mirren will obviously give you a game anytime. Rangers, I think, I can't remember their game before the split is, but they've got Dundee United at home. They should win that.
Falkirk away.
And then the next two for Hearts is Livingston on that dodgy plastic. And then obviously they've got Motherwell, who are fighting for it. So there's going to be twists and turns. I think if we don't beat Dundee, then the league's off. That's just a fact. I mean, I always try and remain positive, but it's beginning to get harder and harder to believe. But I think we can still do it. It's still possible, of course it is. But I mean, it'll twist and turn right up to the last minute, the last day.
Thank you very much, Chris and Govan. James is in Clydebank. What's your take on it all, James?
All right, guys, how he's doing? Obviously, he's, you know, I've been on several times before, and I've mentioned things about the boards and about the club, the way the club's going and stuff like that. But it's just basically, I want to ask you a question, Govan. Have you heard of the Business of Football podcast?
Yeah, I think I have, yeah.
Have you seen the one that was just heard the other night there?
No, I have not.
Right, so it's two English guys, and they're well quoted. Obviously, they talk about the business of football. So one of the things they'd been talking about was, like, we've been told for years after Celtic Board that we have to run a very prudent financial institution because of financial fair play regulations and so on, that we can't spend too much and we can't do this and we can't do that. But it actually transpires that every club's allowed to spend up to 70% of their turnover on players and player sale purchases, player wages and that. But it actually turns out that Celtic are only spending 20%. 20% of so that's another 30% that we're undercutting her. So we're getting told lies from the board, and I'm not trying to be controversial, then this is facts. We're actually getting lied to from the Celtic board, and these guys were talking and they said Celtic's one of the unique clubs in the world because we actually, in a comparison, we're kind of competing with lower to middle English Premiership clubs with our revenue that we our turnover and stuff like that. But that's without any of the TV money in England, you know.
James, I'll only say that right now, when I look at Celtic, I think that's a good thing they're only spending 20%. Because look at what you've brought in. It's been dross. Look at the way you spent 10 million quid in two wingers. And I've just said that.
Almost another three on Mvuka, but there was a issue in the medical and ended up on a loan. You could have been looking at.
Easy, Gordon. They've brought in, and by the way, they're spending money not just in transfers, but they're paying big money in wages as well. So as much as I know what you're saying, James, see, in the ideal world, if you were bringing in the quality players and they were coming in and dominating the Scottish game, I'm totally with you here. Right now, if I was a Celtic fan, I'd be delighted that they've only spent 20%, because if they go and spend more money and more dross, they're going to end up all over the place.
I think it feels like a long way away, Killian, before we start talking about Celtic having money worries. That's James's point. You know, there's money there, but it maybe is quite... It is worth bearing in mind how quickly things can change when James is talking about that reason. And they always said that, you know, you might not qualify for the Champions League. So Celtic, that's always been their mindset. You prepare for that rainy day. Champions League certainly looks in doubt. We would agree with that. Could you be looking at even struggling to make the Europa League next season? All of a sudden, is that squad as jam-packed full of sellable assets as it once was? You just wonder if this... You know, if this is going to be a bad season for Celtic, a blip, they have to make sure it's that rather than the start of, you know, of a more sort of drastic decline, surely.
Yeah, I think on the topic of them selling on players, this is probably the first time where, out of the bunch that they've brought in, it's hard to see one that they're going to sell on at a big profit as they previously have. They've probably gotten away with that 20% part of it where... Up until this is the first time where that it hasn't paid off, that gamble hasn't paid off. Will that force them into a change next season? We'll have to wait and see. But I think it does come down to just I feel like they have gotten away with it up until this stage, and then it's kind of been the in terms of like Hearts have just kind of almost quietly just like swooped in while all of this is going on and thought, all right, then this is our chance.
I mean, what happens now then, James? Because it feels like issues about boards and spending and structures will need to wait. You know, that won't dig you out between now and the end of the season. So how does this season end? And then what has to take place?
You know, I definitely agree. It's not going to help this season. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, these guys said the gold standard is meant to be, the lower end of the gold standard is 50% and the upper end of the gold standard is 60%. So that's leaving you a 20 to 10% buffer. But we are majorly underspending, and that's why you're seeing a team that's ridiculous. Now, I was on the Fontys the night of the Champions League game against Carrick Almaty at home when we drew nothing each, and everybody kept on saying, no, the players at Celtic have got, they should be able to do it. And I said to you, I thought, well, give me the evidence to show that these players, now we were talking about at the time, James Forrest and Shin Yamada and all these players, guys that are a joke, you know what I mean? James Forrest is a joke, don't get me wrong, but he's at the end of his career. And then you've got Callum McGregor, who's coming towards the end of his career, and you've got Kasper Schmeichel, who's been hungry. Now, that's the thing. I defended Joe Hart a few years ago, and I love the time it had there, right? But this is a repeated thing by Celtic. Signing old guys that are nearly over the hill or whatever like that, instead of signing young, good guys that are there, you get a few years out of them and sell them on for the profits and that. It's the whole club that's just... There's no direction or anything like that. And then we do some nasty stuff to some of our biggest legends, like we've done to the Billy McNeil, like we've done to Jock Steen, like we've done to Brendan Rodgers, and we look like we've done to Martin O'Neill. The board asked him to come back and save their bacon, but they couldn't even back him in January. They couldn't even get the wherewithal to go and spend some money in January, where it was obvious to everybody that Celtic were severely struggling. And now, as I say, we've been told all this time, oh, we need to be prudent with our money, we need to be prudent with our money. But see, the thing is, these guys explained it. This is money that's generated by Celtic supporters. It's a different thing with everybody else. We generate, it's the supporters that put the money in the club, and the supporters are asking for the money that they put into the club to be spent. And it doesn't, the only people that the money sitting in the bank suits is the people, the shareholders that are getting constant dividends payments, so yeah, big dividends payments, because we've got the money in the bank. Now, we've given more money to the tax man than we have spent on the team in the last 2 years, and that's a fact. And that is absolutely ridiculous. Now, We're not asking for... As Celtic fans, we understand that the club has had to get built up. We went through all the time with the Rangers gained 9 in a row, where it didn't look like we were going to ever get anywhere near it. So Celtic supporters on a whole understand the thing with money and all that you can't just willy-nilly spend it. But see, when we're getting tilt, we need to be prudent. But yet we're finding that we're 50% under the cap that we could be potentially spending. And this is how ridiculous the state
is. I don't have too much time to query James's numbers this close to the travel. I don't think it's as low as 20% that's been spent necessarily, but I think the mood of the call, I think, would still speak to a lot of Celtic fans, so won't split hairs over it too much. But thank you very much to James on the line. Let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Right, what a feeling it would be, since we're talking money, to have £700,000 in your bank account this Friday. Winning that cash would be the payday to end all paydays, surely. So text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll also find the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. So good luck from us. Text YES to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Killian Sheridan spending the break talking about reading books. I'll leave you two to decide. Right, here's a quiz, early quiz for you. Which one of these two likes reading books and which one doesn't? Get your answers in. Let's get a poll set up.
I know who's going to win.
Unbelievable. Well, it's a different type
love
of book.
I love that book.
Read. I don't know if you can call them books, but anyway. Do you know what actually got a... Do you know what's become a sort of niche fascination on this show is your lookalikes. And every now and then they just pop up. I still don't think we ever... For me personally, was it Lou Carpenter?
Yeah.
That was the best one for me.
From Voting Away?
Spitting image. We got a cracker sent in today of some like Toy Story character or something. Is it on the screen?
See, that goes up on the screen.
Look at that, by the way. That is uncanny.
What is she?
That is it.
Catch yourself.
That is exactly like you. What's his name? What's his name again, this guy? I'm not too familiar. Someone did send me earlier on. Darby Steele, maybe?
Is it Darby?
That is very like... Look, the hair looks the same. Don't make me comment
fair,
on the nose.
No, comment on the ears. The ears are the same
exactly.
size. They're massive.
It's very like you.
Physique.
I've not got a physique the same, mate. I've not got that sort of...
Even that... See when you got your Botox, your eyebrow went a bit funny.
Aye, sure did.
So I think that left eyebrow.
What's his name?
Darby Steele, maybe.
Ah, right, okay, just call me Darby.
Anyway, Gav is on the line. Sorry about that, Gav. It was disturbing. Take it away.
Well, lads, all right.
What are you thinking tonight?
Okay, it was just on the title race, mm-hmm. coming down to what Gordon was saying, and Andy mentioned it on Monday as well, about the strikers. I totally agree. I think it will come down to strikers. And unfortunately, I was on here after Hearts having a go at Gordon for saying, obviously, Chamete was his third choice striker. After that Hearts game, we go to Livy. He does nothing at Livy. They then play Celtic in the league. He scores two cracking goals. And then the following week in the cup, he plays with two left feet. He's so inconsistent for me. Since that Celtic game, he's actually done nothing. Nadiri as well for me. It's a couple of games now he's played, and he's offered nothing in front of goal. I'm just really worried that we are going to fall short.
I don't know if you saw Andy Halliday's favourite stat on Monday.
No.
Obviously, the importance of the goals Chirmiti scored. Everybody knows them. The Celtic and Hearts. He's failed to score in 29 games or 29 Chirmiti. Appearances.
He's not an actual goal
because he's got the those important ones that in the nine goals he's got, but they've come in five games. He's played 34 times. It's like,
I think the biggest indication on that is the song that is sung about him when he was doing well is about like taking the mick out of his price tag.
Yeah. Yeah, but I suppose that balance, Gordon, if Rangers do win this title and you can look back on match winning goals against Hearts and Celtic to state the obvious in a title race, they gain you the points those games, they deny your direct opponents. I mean, listen, you're going to want to score in more than five games. I do accept that.
Yeah, but...
But, you know, maybe...
The worrying thing is he's not alone. Look, I've said about Nadiri, right? Now, the one thing I will not fault him on is I think he works very hard for the team, Gordon, right? I really do. I think he puts in great shift for the team outside the 18-yard box. But when you go in as a striker of Rangers and Celtic, nobody really bothers about how you play if you're banging the goals in left, right and centre. And throughout years upon years, Rangers have had top strikers and so have Celtic that just know where the back of the net is. It's as simple as that. They never spoke about them. Oh, he was fantastic. He ran into the corners. He chased fullbacks. All he spoke about was the goals he scored. I know the game's different now.
We set up a goal at the weekend, though.
Yeah, but that's okay. Listen, I'm saying the boy outside the box is probably doing very well and working very hard. He's very fortunate, the two strikers just now, that his fellow teammates are chipping in with goals, like four goals at the weekend there. Now, if you don't know who scores the goals, the first thing you're looking at, if you're going to ask somebody, is, I'll be centre forward. One of my centre forwards has scored. Rangers don't have that. And that's why I'm saying, I think that if someone can get their strikers right hot, on fire from now to the end of the season, I think that could be the slight difference.
We spoke about the home league form recently, though. Gav is at 18 at home in the last five league games. If the team are contributing those numbers overall, does it matter where they're coming from? Or are you fearful that you're going to get a couple of close games post-split that you need your number nine to go and sort of score the winner?
Oh, we're definitely going to need a number nine. I mean, obviously, the home form's great. And it doesn't matter, like you're saying, who comes up with the goals. But when the fixtures have been like, it looks as though we're going to probably, after the split, most of our games are going to be away. So, like, our away form hasn't been the best. Okay, we scraped a 1-0 win at St Mirren, but like, we're too inconsistent for my liking. It's just been one of them seasons, though, I suppose.
Yeah, it's going to be fine margins, but I suppose, I don't know, recently Rangers would have been the most consistent of the three, I guess, over whatever period. You know, talk about form tables, you see various versions, don't you? Mm-hmm. Going back 10 games or going back 15. I know nobody's got that outstanding consistency out of the three, but it has to be somebody. Somebody has to be more consistent than the others. I guess it has been Rangers recently.
Yeah, I feel like Rangers go on runs, they build up momentum, and then they have, when there's a game that they really need to go and lay a marker down and win, they're just falling at that one, and then they start again, build up momentum, which seems to be like they're doing now again. But back to Chermiti, I just think when Rangers are going, he seems to, when he's been scoring in those big games, it's when the team is playing well. He's not going and grabbing a game by the neck when no one else around them are playing well or anything like that. And I think that's what they're missing. That's what Celtic are missing, which has been the key difference.
Go on, Gav, give us your prediction. You don't sound that confident. What, are Rangers fans like scarred or something from recent seasons? It feels like there's quite a reluctance to give too much credit. You're just, you know, maybe worried that it comes back to bite you or something.
Listen, I was born in 93, right? So my first memories are probably around about the 99-2000 mark. So I've been lucky enough to see a lot of winning leagues and dominating games, etc. But I don't know. It's just over recent years, obviously, it's just when it comes into the last nitty-gritty, there have been bottle jobs, and I think it's hard to try and be positive when
Gav sounds exasperated by this. But it's only going to get worse. It's only the 24th of March. Let's speak again in the next 6 or 8 weeks, and my goodness, people are. I do a quick glance at social media at the moment, I think tells you people are kind of losing their minds about this title race a bit, and it is only going to get worse. So bring it on. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
A tiebreak victory for the listener over Scott Allen last night. Let's see what we've got this evening. Either Killian Sheridan or Gordon Deal up against you. Give us a call, 01419511025. And the lines, as always, close at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Gordon Deal and Killian Sheridan are here. And let me tell you, subtly, These two are building in to one of my favourite duos. Killian's not been with us long on the show, and they're very different characters, but I'm just watching them. I'm just listening to them during the break, and I'm just watching them blossom. Last week, Killian explained that he takes himself off to watch Portuguese films in his spare time. Gordon Dale's head nearly exploded, and he's just outdone himself, hasn't he?
Unbelievable, though. Do you want to tell everybody?
I'm not ashamed by it.
You shouldn't be, but he's amazed.
I'd be quiet.
I think there might be a few more people out there to do the same.
So you did what last night, which has exploded Gordon Dale's brain?
I used some mouth tape for sleeping, so I'd sleep just breathing through my nose.
So you taped your mouth shut to go to sleep?
Effectively, yeah.
Mate, I'm not too sure about it. I guarantee you there'll be people listening to us going, can you not use it on a Tuesday night?
Between 6 and 8.
I'll tell them to put the tape over their ears then.
He's different, this guy, and I like it. I am here for it.
I want to...
You try it tonight. Next week, Killian will bring in some of his mouth tape.
Try it with Sellotape.
So what the thought is, obviously, so to make you breathe through your nose for the entire night.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Well, yeah, I had a great sleep.
Could you imagine me just breathing through my nose? The neighbours, well, no, the neighbours, the people in Hamilton wouldn't they be too happy.
The only issue is my beard. So I might need to
shave it.
Trim into a bit more.
It really hit.
Mate, I want to go with you. Let's just hang about and we'll go to Cathy's.
It hit peak fascination for me when he turned around and showed you a picture of himself with his mouth taped shut from last night.
It's a bit frightening.
Unbelievable.
No wonder you're single.
I won't share that.
Yeah. Now we know why you're single.
Anyway, let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Brian is in East Kilbride. Have you ever taped up your mouth while you slept, Brian?
No, I've not.
Right, well, tonight there's a first for everything, Brian. Is it your first time on Beat the Pundit?
First time.
There you go. You could mark the occasion this evening. Go and get yourself some duct tape at B&Q in East Kilbride and you'll be absolutely sorted. Let's toss the coin. If it's the blue side, you're not getting over that, are you?
No.
Keeps your shoulders going. If it's the blue side, it's Killian, the mouth tape Sheridan. Yeah. And if it is the red side, it is Gordon DL. Let's see how we go. And it is red for Mr. DL up against Brian. Does that suit you, Brian?
No, that's fine. That's what I want
to use
anyway.
All right, okay.
Bye. How do you usually do playing at home?
Well, I usually play at home. I actually do all right. It's a wee bit different when you're on the radio. So,
I know. I always say that when I like to play along at 5k minute bowie at breakfast. I say that quite a lot on the show, and I thought the questions were scandalously hard today. So it just shows you it's your luck, depending on how they fall for you, Brian. So what we'll do here is give Gordon DL something else to listen to so that he can't hear you, and then we'll go 30 seconds on the clock, and all you have to do is answer as many as you can, and you're allowed to pass if you want, okay?
No worries.
Right, let's do it then. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time, Brian, starts now. Which English club did Kasper Schmeichel start his career with?
Pass.
Who's currently second in the Scottish Championship?
Partick Thistle.
Who's Scotland's top scorer under Steve Clarke?
McTominay.
How many league games have Rangers lost this season?
Two.
Which stadium's got a bigger capacity, Tannadice or Rugby Park?
Tannadice.
Which country did Scotland beat 1-0 in a friendly in 1999 wearing a salmon pink kit?
Pass.
Tricky one. He'll not get that either, don't worry. Can you hear us? Got us now?
Still can you hear not? You now?
Good. You ready?
Yeah.
You look very serious. What's
I was listening to music.
Okay, what song was it?
I've been working my way back to you, babe, by the...
Frankie Valli, is that one of those?
No, I've been working my way back to you, babe, with a burning...
Right, anyway, moving on.
Don't know.
The Spinners.
No, it wasn't.
No, the producers will tell me it's the Spinners.
No. It's something and the Spinners.
Oh, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock, four seasons, and your time starts now. What English club did Kasper Schmeichel start his career with?
Leicester.
Which team is second in the Scottish Championship?
Partick.
Who is Scotland's top scorer under Steve Clarke?
McTominay.
How many league games have Rangers lost this season?
Two.
Which stadium's got a bigger capacity, Tannadice or Rugby Park?
Rugby Park.
Which country did Scotland beat 1-0 in a friendly in 1999 wearing a salmon pink kit?
Pass.
In what month did Livy last win a league game?
August.
You got through one more question there, Brian. Did that come back to haunt you?
It could.
It was Man City you started his career, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great how you shout the wrong answer, then shout the right answer. Yeah. It was Man City, but luckily for you, Brian did not get that either. So Schmeichel started with Man City, 0-0. Who's second in the Championship? You both said Partick Thistle. You are both correct. Taking on
Raith Rovers.
You should be there. You, of all people, should be there. You're a Raith Rovers legend. Mm-hmm. Mark Wilson's your best friend on earth. What's not to like about tying you to that fixture?
Probably 50, 60 miles.
Yeah, it could be in your front garden and you wouldn't go. I don't know who you're kidding on. You both fell for it. It's not Scott McTominay. It's John McGinn. Well, he's actually got six more than McTominay.
Has he?
Certainly recently McTominay found the goals, mm-hmm. but over the Steve Clark era, it's 20 to McGinn, 14 to McTominay. So it's still 1-1. How many league games have Rangers lost this season? You both got it. It is 2. I should have remembered to take Gordon Dale's league table off him before asking that question. The bigger capacity stadium, Tannadice or Rugby Park, there is not much in it. I'm going to come back to that question.
Oh.
What country did Scotland beat in 1999, 1-0, wearing a salmon pink kit? Germany. Remember it? No?
Nah, don't.
Obviously with a nod to the new one that's out. Have you seen it?
No, they tell me it's beautiful.
Very nice.
Well, it'll be expensive. What about the England kit?
I'm not interested in England kit. I can see you wearing that new salmon number in the summer.
Not at that price.
That is exactly the colour your face goes in the sun.
Yeah. Not that price.
And it will
price.
Match
if
perfectly.
Prepared to give my discount.
A man of your means giving back to the country in the World Cup year.
What a chance.
I can see it.
Did Brian get that?
No, he didn't. In what month did Livy last win a league game? It was August. Brian didn't get that question and you got it in, so you are in the lead. How many league... what stadiums get larger capacity? It was 50-50. You need this on the line, Brian.
You got it, Brian, because he's gone by. No. He's dramatising it.
I'm afraid it is Rugby Park.
Is it?
Boo.
Not much
boo.
In it as well. I just thought I'd build up a slight sense of anticipation, but he's done it.
What did Brian say? Good.
Well, the other one, obviously.
Yeah. He could have said Rugby Park. You were still building
no,
it up.
I said you went one each.
Okay, unlucky, Brian. Maybe next time you come on, you'll not want to play me.
I think I would have gone to Tannadice.
Nah, Rugby Park.
Apparently 15,000 to 14,200, so there we go.
It was close.
Who's your team, Brian? You're a Rangers fan, Brian?
I'm a Rangers fan.
Right, where are you confidence-wise? What a wide range of opinions we've got out there on this.
I'm sick of feeling confident. It feels like every time I'm confident, something happens. So, beat Hearts, and the liver result happens, get 2-0 up against Celtic, and then they come back. I'm going to just see how the next two games play out, and then I'll see what happens for there.
On paper, if there is such a thing that matters, though, you've that fixture because of your recent home form in the league. That's not a bad fixture, is it? I know Dundee United showed what they're capable of at the weekend, but put it this way: if I was to offer you, would you rather host Dundee United or go away to Dundee like Celtic are?
Yeah, no, you've got to say at home. You've got to say host them. Our away form's not been the best recently, but I think we'll win. But I think the hard game for us will be Falkirk away.
Yeah, I
agree with that.
That's sticking out, isn't it, that one?
Yeah, listen, I touched on it tonight. Dundee United done okay in the last couple of visits there. They got a good result against Celtic, go with confidence. Still fancy Rangers at home strongly. Falkirk will be a difficult one, no doubt about that. I know that St Mirren went there and beat them at the weekend, but there'll be a packed house there. You know what like is when you play up against Celtic or Rangers. For some reason, the opposition seems to get a little bit of lift, a little bit of that extra bit in their step. So it'll be a difficult game. But I fancy Rangers to pick up 6 points out of the next two games.
See if it's going to be as tight as everyone's been forecasting. Killian, is it that time of the season where you do start really looking at the goal difference from week to week? Where, you know, Rangers going to add three at the weekend, where Celtic obviously go backwards and losing the game, Hearts it's another narrow one. Is it time to start really preparing yourselves that could be a factor?
Yeah, I think you have to, especially. Well, I suppose at the minute it is still a three horse race. If it's two, maybe it's not that big of a thing. But the fact is, at the minute there's three teams in it. Goal difference will be massive, and the fact it is so tight. is, like we say, is adding to everything else with it all. Which again re-emphasizes the point on the importance of the strikers at each team.
Because that's eight better off than Celtic Rangers are currently, Gordon. I wonder, because we do this quite often when it's the team at the top. I've got memories of, for numerous seasons going back the way, Celtic, we get to a stage where we say Celtic are X points clear, and actually it's one more than that when you look at the goal difference. What does that number need to be before you start taking that into account between Rangers and Celtic at the moment?
I would...
It's not bad.
Yeah, I'd start worrying now, I've got to say. You look at the difference with Hearts and Rangers, I talk about it, Shanklin, Braga.
You can chip away at that though with seven left, can't
course,
you?
Of course you can, but my big problem right now for Celtic is, and everybody's hoping that was a real blip up at Tannadice, but they looked disjointed for me. They didn't create a lot. Okay, Celtic Park probably will be different, but they need somebody to start banging the goals in rather than a midfield player.
Did we... You know, Brian, we're talking about Rangers strikers, and there's a bit of a... There are two clear ways of looking at this. You've been scoring goals at home, so that it's not a massive issue right now, but a few folk have phoned in and said they want to see more from that front too. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. We need maybe Chirmiti to start scoring in the last few games of the season if we get any chance of winning this league. I don't think we can really rely on our midfielders and set pieces for the remaining games.
Is there any chance that Miovski gets a chance from the beginning again at any point? It just feels like that's...
No, unless there's an injury, because it doesn't matter if these two guys are scoring goals or not. He seems to favour Chirmiti and Nadiri. I keep saying it, I think Nadiri does a lot of work for a team as a striker, but I just think that a striker's role, as much as be a team player, you've got to be able to put the ball in the back of the net, and he's got to start scoring goals for me.
Thank you very much to Brian Harlines on Beat the Pundit. It was a victory in the end for Gordon DL. Let's bring in Chris, who is a Hearts fan. How are you feeling about it all now, Chris?
How you doing? How you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, good. You?
No bad. I was glad, like, obviously we got the result, like, at the weekend there, like, did well to get there in the end. Wasn't it a sparkling performance, eh? But this time of the season, like, the 3 points, that's all that matters on the day. I think when Shanklin came on, like, we looked so much better. I mean, made Kizaridis and Braga look better as well, so gives me a bit of confidence going forward with that. Like, I'm still a wee bit worried. Like I said, I was on a couple of weeks ago, and I said that the 1-0 wins weren't sustainable week in, week out. Like, if you're struggling to put teams away, it's going to catch up to you in the end. But so far, so good. And I think we're just wanting a shot of confidence, the fans. I'm speaking to, like, quite a few of my mates and that stuff, and it's what Rangers done there at the weekend with the 4-1-1, Like, that's what kind of what we're craving now, just to give us that shot of confidence going forward, I thought the referee on Saturday, Don Robertson, though, I think he had an absolute shambles of a game, to be honest. But at the end of the day, we got the job done, So, a cracking header for McEntee and all my charge,
What decision annoyed you the most, Chris? Because obviously it wasn't one of those televised games, so people maybe haven't seen it the way you did. What annoyed you?
It wasn't like a massive game-changing decision or that. It was just everything sort of, like, there was about three or four corners we should have got that we never got. Up the other end, Dundee got a few corners that were never corners, And it felt like during the game, like Dundee were just getting every single decision, and Braga and Kizaridis were getting thrown about like an empty tracksuit, and they were getting absolutely nothing, It was just...
I can't argue with Chris, because I wasn't there, but I tell you what, if we're up at six corners wrongly awarded, I would be worried about that, if his numbers are accurate. Again, difficult to say, we weren't obviously there at the weekend, it wasn't telly. The wider point, Gordon, Chris says, wasn't sparkling, maybe need that kind of 4-1. You'd need to go back ages for a proper, real convincing day where Hearts totally wipe the floor. Although, to be fair, they've had some convincing 1-0s, if that makes sense. I was at the Aberdeen game at home a few weeks ago.
And
they dominated, but I think if we kind of made our peace with the fact that's just not them now, It just isn't going to be. That's just the way it is.
Right now, for me, I said it at the weekend, actually. The most important thing, first and foremost, 3 points. Your second one is obviously if it's a good performance and it's icing on the cake, like Rangers at the weekend there beating Aberdeen 4-1. Look, Derek McInnes will take the next 7 games and win 1-0 and be absolute over the moon. I know it's not ideal for the fans. They like that buffer, don't they? The 2 or the 3-0 lead or whatever, so they can relax and enjoy their day, because the way this league's going, you never know. A late equaliser or a send-off, whatever, just changes the game a little bit. But we've been saying this for over 20-odd weeks now about Hearts. They're still up there. They're up there in merit. I'm looking at 7 games to go. What, 5 gets them over the line? 5 games would get them over the line. Have they got that in them? Would they take 5 1-0s? 100%.
Yeah, I know, but I think that's obvious, Kelly, and the question is always, can you do that? Is that sustainable? Is it a sign that you won't win at some point? I don't think anybody's doubting that you would take the 1-0s if you could guarantee them. But do you feel that catches up with the team?
No, I don't know why it should. The most important thing is they're 1-0 wins, they're not 1-0 defeats. As long as at this stage of the season they keep chopping off games, and not just chopping them off, but getting 3 points on top of that, the more they're taking games away from Rangers and Celtic to try and catch them, I don't think Derek McInnes will be too worried. Obviously, you want to go and win games 2-3-0, have a bit of comfort and actually enjoy winning them. If anything, it kind of adds to the drama and suspense for Hearts fans. Maybe I think it's probably hard to enjoy it, but it's kind of a similar feeling to when the year Leicester won it, when everyone was kind of won the Premier League, was when everyone was kind of like watching and afraid to kind of be like, oh, it's actually happening, they're going to go and do it, and kind of get the same feeling from Hearts fans, where they're a little bit wary of actually going out and enjoying the feeling of being in a title chase or leading it. Challenge will come when the pressure starts, when it is realistic, where, right, we're actually a few wins away from winning the league. So that's probably going to be the biggest test for them, and one a lot of the players won't have had before, and the club for a long time as well. So that's probably the next step for this team, or the next challenge for them.
That's been your favourite reference point, though, isn't it? How long Hearts have been top. Yeah. What, up at 25
oh, must be.
Weeks. You've seen the schedule for the next set of fixtures, haven't you? That could be the end of the run for a few hours, because Rangers play first.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll need to scratch off the calendar.
Well, yeah, obviously.
You're buying into the schedule stuff at the moment. Well, when I say buying in, as if it's like, of course, you have to. It's real. It's very much there for everybody to see that the team that leads off on the weekend does seem to be the ones that is winning at the moment.
Yeah, putting pressure
on them. It's one of the ones that comes after that drops points. It's happened a lot recently.
Put it this way, I would rather play my game first for the next 7 weeks. If I was a manager, I would take the first game and really go out there and really put pressure on the teams behind. Because if you get the 3 points, you can sit back there and relax. Look at Celtic at the weekend. Rangers got the 3 points. Hearts got the 3 points. Now, you're not telling me there was not a little bit of added pressure at Tannadice as well, as much as you can look at the pitch and everything about that, but I'm not taking anything away from Dundee United. I thought they were very good.
I think the clubs are going to start lobbying Sky during for the post-split, say, please don't put us last.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'd be the same. Because if you're sitting there and you're going, this is a must-win game, because I agree. If Celtic had to go to Dens Park after international break and drop anything, it's good nightmares. They're out. They're finished. They're gone.
Well, as the psychology,
I couldn't think any other words.
You've really made your point. But yeah, and, I mean, I suppose, you know, Celtic could be 8 points behind by the time they kick off at Dens, couldn't they?
Yeah.
In that next game, and even just the psychology of it. Chris, how important do you think this break could be, where Shankland and Devlin are back, they've played, they've got the minutes in, and now they can, you know, manage this couple of weeks and really move towards getting up to full fitness for when we're back?
Yeah, like that, what you've just said there, obviously that's what does give me like a good bit of confidence, eh? Because when obviously Devlin wasn't 100% up to scratch on Saturday, which is understandable obviously, but when Shanklin came on, like, it was just a complete change. Yeah? Like, not just like in himself, like obviously with Shanklin coming on, it was Kazaridis and Braga as well, like linking up with him, like sort of became a new lease of life. Eh? I've got a wee scenario for you here. Eh? Obviously with Celtic not doing so well now, eh? Like obviously they've dropped more points, like we're 5 points ahead of them now. I'm thinking like what Gordon there was saying about them going to Dens. If they go to Dens and they drop points there as well, and obviously that this is counting on us winning at Livingston, which I'm not 100% confident about, to be honest. But if we did, like I think Rangers will bottle it at Celtic Park after the split, and if we manage to beat Rangers at Tynecastle as well, I think that'll be more than enough for us to win the league. Eh? And I think like we are capable of winning all seven games from now till the end of the season, but I'm not saying that we will do that. But out of the three squads, I'd rather have our squad. And I just think that like we're the best team in the league. If you look at the table, that's the proof of that, eh? And
fair enough. I was just trying to work out all those permutations from Chris's scenario. We'll leave it with the guys over the break. Thank you very much to Chris on the line. Bit of support coming in, by the way. Alan McLean sent me a message. I do the mouth tape thing. So more people are backing Killian than you so far.
That's weird.
Well, listen, people have spoken.
There's people amongst you.
And I'd say there's more people in denial. Not owning up to it as well.
There we go. We'll take more of your calls on such pressing matters when we return. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Or you can send us your thoughts written at Clyde SSB. Or get in touch, let us know. Still getting messages about mouth tape more than anything, but that's fine, that's what we're here for. It's always these things that take off more than your cutting edge football analysis. You find that. Let's do this before we go further.
The full-time teaser with Arcplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Good question this. It is International Week. Oh, don't
no.
Spare me your negativity. Right. You'll still get this, I think.
Right.
Excluding the current Scotland squad, can you name the seven most capped Scotland players who've also played at least 100 English Premier League games since 2010. Steady.
I was right in there, wasn't I, Robertson?
Excluding the current squad. Will you be quiet and let me finish? Excluding the current squad, can you name the seven most capped Scotland players who've also played at least 100 English Premier League games since 2010?
Fletcher.
Darren Fletcher. 81 caps, 192 English Premier League appearances. Lock him in.
Right.
Alan McGregor?
No, but not. He's got 52 English Premier League appearances. We're asking a non-Scotsman to do this, of course.
Snodgrass.
No.
Or Morrison.
James Morrison?
Yeah.
Yes. He has got 46 caps and 214 English Premier League appearances.
Stephen Fletcher.
Stephen Fletcher, yes. 33 caps, 169.
Can I be honest? That's who my first one was. When I say Fletcher, you gave me Darren. That was Stephen, I was actually thinking.
You thought of Stephen Fletcher ahead of Darren in a Scotland context. Yeah. You're a worry. Don't give me any more for now. Please just leave it there.
Okay.
To answer your query, Snodgrass has only got 28 caps.
Okay.
So that'll be why. Anyway, John is on the line in Lesmahago. How are you, John?
Hi lads, how you doing?
Good, what are you thinking, John?
Just going up about the Rangers striker scenario. Basically, I know obviously a lot of goals are coming from different areas in the park, but me moving forward, I personally would like to see Danny Rowe go with Jim Mitty and Bojan Miosky up front. I just feel, and no, Miosky's played a few games this year, but it's been kind of cameo appearances. I just kind of feel that he's not really been given as big a chance as I would like. Obviously, when we first signed him, I thought he was going to be absolutely brilliant for us, going to be his track record in the league. It's no kind of worked out, but I think he's a better finisher out of the three of them. I think Nadiri and Chermitti are very similar players in the fact that they work hard off the ball, and I really like Chermitti's kind of link-up play, and I just think Miosky potentially could maybe score that 3, 4, 5 goals that they're talking about maybe being the difference at the end of the season, just to see what your opinion was.
What do you think, Gordon? He seems pretty far out of favour. I mean, he came on obviously at the weekend, took the goal well that was ruled out for the handball. Can you see that happening anytime soon? It feels like there is obviously a real lean towards Ndidi and Chirmiti so far when they've played two.
Yeah, probably I could if the two of them continue not to score goals. I know that we keep talking about how well and how hard they're working with the team.
What if it coincides with winning games?
That's what I was going
Let's say Rangers play again this weekend.
And they win, they're going to change their strikers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. But if they're going to go and they maybe get a draw or they lose a game, it gives them an opportunity to say, right, I can mix the strikers up. I keep going back to it. Ndidi, for me, I received some on Instagram on about, he was first at the running stats. He was first at laying the ball off. He was first at tying his boots. He was first at...
Are people sending you stats on Instagram?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I be the first to say, that's not why you got an Instagram, is it? That's not what it's there for.
No, but I quite like the stats. I quite... Right. Sort of a...
I can see that with the tone in which you repeated them there, that you like them.
Which is fine, and I get all that. But I just think you got to score goals. That's my play centre forward. I play centre forward. You got to bang in goals. That's your job. That's what you're signed for. I know the modern day game's different. You go, well, many games you play a season, 30 odds, I never scored a goal but I had 18 assists. Well done, there's your Player of the Year award, right? You've got to score goals for me. And if they continue playing and there's an odd draw there or a drop of points, a defeat, then I think it might be an opportunity to mix that two up.
It's always a sign when strikers are struggling when people start mentioning assists, or a striker themselves, if they start plucking out, well, I've got five assists, they're struggling then. But if you look back at, like you're saying, like players who score, that's what they're in the team to do. Danny Roll could have come into the dressing room after that game at the weekend and been delighted with how they played. If the rest of the team is scoring goals and they're doing what he wants them to do to allow the team to play in the way that he wants them to, then I don't think he'll be too bothered. I think the problem comes when that's not happening and they're not doing what strikers generally are there to do, is put the ball in the net.
Because John, as we're talking about there, if Rangers play, well, when Rangers play their next game on the back of a 4-1 win, would you grudge the manager for picking the same team that won that game 4-1?
I mean, definitely no. I mean, obviously we were pretty convincing against Aberdeen. It doesn't really concern me, to be honest. Like, see if we go on and win the league, I couldn't care who scores, to be honest.
Is this the bit that's making you think you might not win the league then? Is that where this is coming from?
Well, I'll be honest. I really want my team to win the league, but I'm not going to sit here for a minute and say that it's nailed on, because I'm no any more confident than I have been in previous weeks, because it's that tight. I still don't even think Celtic's out it, to be honest. I know obviously they're 5 points adrift, but any of the three teams could win it, in my opinion. Gone with recent years, obviously we've had chances to win the league and not get over the line, so I can see why a lot of Rangers fans aren't as confident as maybe we should be, but it's going to be tight, that's for sure.
Do you look at the kind of points totals, you know, since Danny Rule came in, that sort of stuff, because that would indicate, you know, that Rangers are, to use a really annoying phrase, trending in the right direction or whatever. You know, Rangers, Celtic will say, if it wasn't for Wilfred Nancy, we'd be here. Rangers fans can say, if it wasn't for Russell Martin, you know, we'd be there as well. In the time Danny Rule's been here, which is quite long, it's not a bad points per game you're racking up in terms of title-winning credentials.
Definitely. I mean, I think, obviously, you can say overall, for me, Danny Rule has done a really good job. Maybe on a couple of occasions, I remember the game at Firth Park, he made a couple of substitutions and we had a man advantage as well and didn't really see that game out. But apart from that, he's been absolutely brilliant for Rangers, I think, in the January transfer window as well. Romans has been absolutely excellent, albeit he's only been here a couple of months. Chukwani's coming on to a right good game as well. So I definitely think he's a man to take Rangers forward.
Yeah, I think the Rangers fans are happy with the job he's doing, because he's put them right in an opportunity to go and win the league, which would be fantastic, because I think when Russell Martin left and Danny Rowe came in, it was just a case of get us up the league and get us at least a bit of respectability for where Rangers were. Yeah, he's brought in one or two good players in January. Romans is one. One of them, I like him. I think he's very, very good in that left-back position. He's got a good squad. He's got a big squad. He's getting the best out of young Mikey Moore. I think the Rangers fans are really buying into him, loving him. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. But I totally agree with John. It's still anybody's title, let's be honest about it. As much as Celtic, you would probably throw into third favourites just now. But don't be surprised, it's the kind of season we're having.
Don't get me wrong, Killian, I am acutely aware it's about what you do over the 38 games and things change, people come and go, and it, you know, almost get scoffed at when you mention a record of just when a manager's in. But I also don't think you can totally discount it either. If Danny Rule's form, because he's not responsible for Russell Martin's form, Danny Rule's form would, you know, the points per game would end up at about 89 points. That's not a bad, you know, that's not a bad tally. That tells you that he has displayed title winning form, basically. Now, whether they can get over that line, make up enough for the start that they did, similarly Celtic, they're going to have to carry the flak from the Wilfred Nancy era as well. But that's not, That's a decent run and over quite a big sample as well.
Yeah, he came in and he had a job to kind of steady the ship, tighten them up at the back. First and foremost, he came in, he done that. Perhaps might have been a bit different if he came in beginning of the summer, and he's coming into a team under different circumstances. But like I was saying earlier, he's got together a good run of results where they gain momentum, and then they might have the Livingston result or the Motherwell result or lose to Celtic when after they've built up like a good run of form. So I think that's probably the one hurdle he hasn't gotten over yet with this team, is those big games that matter where it kind of it undoes the good work that he has done.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, that's for sure. John, you can tell I'm seeing a theme amongst these Rangers fans, or just not quite sure how confident they should be. And I think that's understandable, sitting right there in the middle of the two, second place, Hearts still in the driving seat. Celtic would be the ones with the recent scar tissue, because that's from the weekend, of course. So, oh, what a roller coaster we've got ahead of us. Thanks again to John from Les Mahego. And maybe take one more guess each. We're looking for, excluding the current squad, can you name the seven most capped Scotland players who've also played at least 100 English Premier League games since 2010? So guys like Darren Fletcher, Stephen Fletcher, James Morrison.
Go on then.
Alan Hutton.
Yes.
What a show.
50 caps, 121 English Premier League appearances.
Have we gone as far? There'll always be a goalkeeper. Are we going back as far as Sullivan?
No. Since 2010.
Oh, 2010, I don't
Come
know.
On.
James MacArthur.
He's only got 32 caps. You need 33 to get on this list. Stephen Fletcher was the cutoff.
Oh. They're a goalkeeper. Always a goalkeeper.
Do you want me to put you out your misery on that issue?
I don't think it's a goalkeeper.
There's not a goalkeeper. Because who would it be?
A goalkeeper?
Yeah, but
could be Emdy.
Oh, never mind. You know all the Scotland goalies, kind of.
Yeah, I just wanted.
How many do we have?
I wanted
three to get.
Since 2010, I'm struggling.
Okay, I'll give you some thinking time.
Go.
Kenny Miller.
Oh no
2010. No.
Nope. He's got no English Premier League appearance since 2008. Yeah, not too far off. Right, let's leave it there, and we'll try and get the rest when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us on the home straight, nearly out of time, but still loads of scope for you to get your calls in, so please do. Just before we go any further, we're just talking about you, how you don't read books.
No.
But you could listen to podcasts. I've got something just for you. If you've not heard already, Clyde One have launched a brand new Rayo original podcast. It's a true crime podcast as well. which I know lots of people are into, called Beware Book, focuses on a series of unsolved murders which took place in Glasgow between 1991 and 2005, put together by our very own Clyde One News team, hosted by Colette McGonigal and Callum McQuaid. You'll hear on air every day, I'm sure, already, but they've been speaking to families involved, re-examining the investigations, questioning if opportunities were missed to catch those responsible, all the stuff you're looking for from a true crime podcast. 7 episodes in total, first 2 are out now, so you can head to the Rayo app, listen there for free, or just wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Monday. Beware Book from the Clyde One News team. I'll get Gordon Dale right on that after the show. What about your teaser tonight, excluding the current squad? Who are the 7 most capped Scotland players who've also played at least 100 English Premier League games since 2010? Darren Fletcher. Then you're missing the next 3 in order. Then you've got Alan Hutton, James Morrison and Stephen Fletcher.
Another Stephen Naismith.
Yes, the current assistant manager who we might hear from in just a second. That would be good timing.
Good.
51 caps, 116 English Premier League appearances.
Cooper never had...
Liam Cooper? Nah.
I'm scraping the barrel here.
Oh, you're looking for one centre-half who played for a Glasgow club and an Edinburgh club up here. And you're looking for a midfielder who's...
Chris Commons one?
No.
Is Grant Hanley in the current squad?
He's in the current squad.
Yeah.
And a midfielder who is in the Scottish Premiership currently. I'll leave that with you. Ian is on the line. Hi, Ian.
Hi guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Pleasure. What are you thinking tonight?
No, I just thought I had this thought, although it's kind of like a hypothetical scenario, and I'm not sure if I might have like sort of let the cat out of the pigeons because it could upset some Hearts fans, but I was imagining basically what would it be like had Celtic not had Wilfred Nancy as their manager and Rangers not had Russell Martin, because I was just thinking about the points dropped and Nancy, I know he dropped, he lost 6 out of 8, and Russell Martin, I think, drew 5, lost 1, so that's like 18 points negative for Celtic, and Rangers, I think it's 13. So I was just thinking, what would people think, well, where would Hearts be, basically, in this scenario, and would... Assuming Rangers were with their current manager from the beginning of the season, Celtic, with Martin O'Neill. So, what do you guys think?
I think I know what Ian's getting at, because there's only 3 points between them, Rangers and Hearts, and then Celtic are 2 further back. So, if Wilfred Nancy had been even semi-respectable in terms of his points return, Celtic would be up there, and if Russell Martin had managed even one more win. Is it as simple as that? Is there other ways of looking at it? Other things that should be considered?
I think you can look at it that way, because both managers you're talking about there, yeah, I think under different managers, Rangers and Celtic would have picked up probably more points. Really do. Let's not be. I don't think Martin O'Neill would have lost 6 out of 8.
Do you think there's a more? Well, yeah. Well, there will be a more sort of calamitous angle to Celtics, because look, Rangers recruited Russell Martin. He got a full pre-season. He got players that, you know, they thought he was the guy. That can happen. You can appoint the wrong manager. Whereas Celtic replaced one with Martin O'Neill, then decided to not bother sticking with him for, you know, and brought Nancy in at the specific time they did, then had to go back to Martin O'Neill. Do you think that is that why that one feels like way more of a sort of regret, if that makes sense?
Yeah, but I don't think you can just look at it now and say, right, if Rangers and Celtic don't win the league, that's the reasons. Well, it won't be, because the league's so tight. They've had a January window as well to strengthen. So they've had the opportunity to sort that mess out, if you know what I mean.
It's going to be hard for Celtic fans to shake that Wilfred Nancy era as one of the big causes, though, is it not?
Yeah, it's... The biggest thing for Celtic probably is why it's more of a calamitous feel to us, like you're saying there, is the fact that they've started the season from an area of dominance,
sure,
where they're like on the top going down, whereas for Rangers it was a chance to go up the way. And just Gordon reminded me there when he mentions the window, the January window. I was thinking yesterday, like, see, even if there was no such thing as transfer windows, I don't know if you'd trust the way Celtic are bringing players in now. If they could go and sign a player now, I still don't know if that would make a difference, given their signings that they have been doing. Again, it's all ifs and buts. I do think if it has been the perfect storm for Hearts, where Rangers and Celtic dropped so many points when they normally wouldn't, if they hadn't and they didn't and they could claw those points back, then of course it's, I think Hearts are sitting in third place and it's still going to be positive. Everyone's like, yeah, they've improved, yeah, or they've got back again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a good foundations there. They've signed well. Everything's going good. And it's just that I think Tony Bloom as well would be surprised. At the start of the season, I didn't think Hearts would make the challenge that they are making. But I do think a heavy part of that is the demise of Celtic and Rangers this season.
Well, you're a Rangers fan. Is that the way you look at it? Do you think Rangers win the league if Danny Rule's there from the start?
I think it's a good possibility, honestly, especially if he had a full pre-season. Because, I mean, look what he's managed to get out of the same players that Russell Martin had, adding a few of his own to make them even better. Imagine him with a full season, where they could be. I mean, they could certainly think they would have a really good chance of winning the league.
Would Celtic fans not say that the same if Martin O'Neill had been in?
Yeah, right. It's just because he's a Rangers fan. That's
yeah,
it.
But listen, I think what we're doing
or dare we say it, what if Brendan Rodgers had just stayed the full time and Celtic would have won the league?
But I think we're doing Hearts a little bit of disservice. It doesn't matter what Rangers and Celtic have messed up, fine. Hearts have taken advantage of that and I think they deserve the credit.
The January transfer window would have been very interesting if Brendan Rodgers was still there for that. I think he would have maybe been in a position to try and drive. Maybe, obviously, that's, I think, the reason he did leave. But I feel like he would have been in a position where he would have driven a lot more for specific players.
It's a good hypothetical, Ian. I'll get Gordon Dale to think about that when he's lying with his mouth tape on and his podcast in his ear tonight. We're piling on the tasks for him this evening. That was Ian in Gdansk. It'll pretty much take us up to time, I would imagine. Which of your former teams are you backing tonight? Did I ask?
I'm going to go for Thistle. I'm going for the Jags.
And it's goalless at the moment. We said this, the head-to-head at St Johnstone at the weekend. Did they just sort of remain in must-win territory then at the moment because of that gap?
Yeah,
this is
their game in hand, is it?
Yeah, this is the game in hand. Yeah. So win it, go five behind.
It still keeps them in it. There's no doubt about that. It'll still be difficult because St Johnstone are firm favourites. But they can't afford to lose this game tonight.
I think it can help them for the playoffs. See if St Johnstone wrap it up earlier, Partick don't have that feeling of fighting all season to maybe lose out on us, like with two or three games to go.
And then carry the disappointment.
It's hard to then get up again for playoffs. So it could work out for them in that sense.
Goalless at the moment, but only a couple of minutes in, so nothing really to tell you about there. Let me just double check. Yes, it's goalless at the moment and it's over at Starks Park, of course. Raith Rovers 0, Partick Thistle 0. I think you're pretty much done, almost out of time. I don't know if there's anything else you need to get off your chest. Where are you in this teaser, excluding the current squad? Can you name the seven most capped Scotland players who've also played at least 100 English Premier League games since 2010? You've got Stephen Fletcher, James Morrison, Alan Hutton, Stephen Naismith and Darren Fletcher. Oh, silence is
I'm struggling here. Johnny Russell never played.
No.
Beak, nose.
Oh, I've just got a really itchy nose. It's not a clue. That did cross my sorry.
I'm thinking beak.
Do you know what it is? It's really bothering me, and I keep trying to wait until you two Steve. Come on the screen and I go off. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Oh, was that not a clue?
No. Just getting itchy nose. But it's really, really bothering me.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not scratching minds. Come on, I'm struggling. More clues.
What about the midfielder that's currently in the Scottish Premiership?
So he's not playing with Rangers or Celtic.
The English club he played for, most notably, well, the only one I think, Southampton. Now plays for Aberdeen.
Stuart Armstrong.
He could be in the current squad.
but he's not crucially in the current squad.
Right, okay, but
is there another one?
The question is not who could be in the current squad.
Ah,
there is, there's one more he's got.
Stuart Armstrong played 100 games in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah, 149. The other one you're still waiting on.
Go on.
He's a defender. He's got exactly 100 English Premier League appearances, played for Hibs and Celtic. Wigan.
Caldwell?
Yes.
Gary Caldwell?
Yes. Teammate of yours, Killian?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
There we go. Anyway, thank you very much to Gordon and to Killian. We will see you at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Have a good one.